What do we got? Anything?
Yeah.
Stand up. Show us your foot.
That's all right. I'd like to ask prayer for Tim this morning. He's been missing a lot of church, but says he's been watching it on the TV. But he's started to work for this company down there, and it's been one problem after another with these trucks, these trash trucks. And I really have been praying that God would show him that, you know, his faithfulness is going to make a difference.
Yes.
And he keeps telling me, you know, I'm coming. And then something else, oh, well, I got to do this. And I finally told him, I said, you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to either choose the Lord or you're going to have to choose this business.
Yep.
And whichever one's the most important, you're going to have to choose, because you want the blessings of God and you're going to have to learn to be faithful.
It's true.
I said, you can take all this time out and go to church and be faithful to God. The rest of this will work out. So just pray for him, for his kids still.
Okay.
And then I hate asking prayers for me. Of course, y'all know now I broke a bone in my foot. But I've got this knee replacement coming up.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that all this will work out where I can go ahead and have this done still, because this thing's starting to kick in. I said, I don't need both limbs down right now. I just don't need that to happen. And I just want to say, too, that I'm so thankful that God has watched over us and took care of us and has met our needs and still continues to meet the needs.
Amen.
And just pray that help me this morning when I leave the singing to be able to do it and not fall flat on my face.
Not a problem. I've got confidence in you. All right, anything else? Your parents doing okay?
As far as I know, yep.
Okay. Pray for our loved ones. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Keep her in prayer. Anything else? Junior, Jane, you doing okay? All right. Jimmy, you keeping the baseball all straight? Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Floyd, seeing you're in pain, how about praying for us?
Father, we thank thee, O Lord, for your many blessings, dear God. We are so thankful, dear Lord, that we can set aside the time, Lord, and come to your house this morning. And we do ask, Lord, your blessings, dear Father, upon the Sunday school hour and the morning worship. We also ask, Lord, too, that you would just continue to meet the needs here of the church.
Yes.
And meet the needs, dear Lord, of these prayer requests that's been lifted up. Father, we know that thou art able, thou art the great physician, the great healer. And Father, we know that you can just speak it. But Lord, we ask that, Father, you would just touch each and every heart, touch every body, dear Lord, and ask that you would give them help, give them strength, dear Lord, to do the things that they need to do, and pray that they'll do it with all their heart towards you. We ask you, Lord, to touch the preaching this morning, touch our pastor, dear Lord, help him make it easy. Lord, give him unction from on high. Help Brother John and all the teachers this morning. Lord, just help them as they stand and as have they prepared, dear Father, that you would just give them all the words and the things that they need to say, Father. And help us to meditate on your precious word, Lord, and receive that today that we need. And we're so thankful again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, remember all those that are sick, that are having back operations. Our brother here has second operation and all on his back. So many that we don't even know about. But keep it all in prayer. The Lord knows who they are, and just be thankful that we're able to go to the Lord in prayer and bring our requests, our desires, our all to Him. All right, last week I began laying a foundation on how to study the Bible. And the reason we need to study the Bible and apply it to our lives is because one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for our life. And our life, if it's not based on the Word of God, we're going to be in trouble. And like I said, when He asks us, tell me what the Bible says about whatever it is, about being a husband, being a father, being a mother, how were you to spend your money, how were you to live your life, how were you to serve the Lord, tell me based on the Word of God that I gave to you. And if we don't read and study the Word of God and then apply it to our lives, we're going to be in trouble at the judgment seat. So I want to lay out some rules today for Bible study that will help you in your Bible study. So last week we finished up with the fact that what you don't need when you talk about Bible study, I mentioned that you think about getting commentaries and going through sermons and all that. That's not what you need. You need the Word of God. You need a good English dictionary. And I told you, my recommendation is the 1828 dictionary. A good concordance, and I use a strong concordance, and there's others out there, but I think that's the best one that you could use. And then of course you need the Authorized Version 1611 King James Bible. And once you have those things, then you can get into Bible study. That's all you need for your Bible study. What you're going to have to do is read the Bible and read it and read it and read it. And when you come across the word that you don't know or you're not sure of, you look it up and you find out its meaning, and then you go through Scripture and find out where it's found and what it means and how do you apply it to your life. And you find out the definition of that word, so you understand it and you can get it in its proper context. So, you know, that's why you have a concordance, so you can go through and look up these things. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And now what I've learned since I got saved, I've been in the ministry now about 30 years or a little more. I've pastored, I've been a youth pastor, I've taught Sunday school from little kids on up to adults, I've preached in the jail for years. I've taught in two different Bible institutes over the years, and I say that because over all those years, I've never had to go to the Greek or the Hebrew or the original languages to find out what the Bible says. The Bible will define itself if you read and study it, and then apply it to your lives. So that's all we need. But the misconception today that a lot of people have is that unless you've been through Bible school, Bible college, you hold PhD in the different languages, you're not a preacher or a teacher. But that's totally, completely wrong. Now, some of these things can help you, but when you let education become your master, then it's going to destroy your study in the Word of God. So Proverbs chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. So, first of all, incline thine ear. That's pay attention to what you're reading. Listen up to what God's telling us. Unto wisdom. Wisdom is the application of the facts that you get from the Word of God. Not only listen to them, but apply your heart to understanding. Understanding is realizing how God fits into that situation. And then the knowledge, of course, is the gathering of the facts. So we read to get the knowledge, the facts, so we can apply it. That's wisdom. And then understand how God fits into it. And then we go from there. So if you want the truth, and most of us do, but if you want the truth as bad as you want other things. Supposing they told you that they found gold, or there was gold buried out in your backyard somewhere. How many of us would be out there with a shovel and a pick trying to find that gold? How about if they told us that there was a silver mine back there somewhere? Would we be looking to dig that silver out? Of course we would. We would want that. Now, do we want the truth as much as we want to find that gold or the vein of silver running through the backyard? God says if you want it, you can have it. You want the truth, it's there in the book. All we have to do is dig it out. And that's what we said last week, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's work if you want to know the word of God. If you want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, receive those rewards, and get the blessing, it's going to take work in this life, reading and studying the word of God, and then applying it to our lives. So God will give you the strength, the desire, if that's what you want. And then when God looks at your heart and sees you want that truth, He's going to give you the truth from His Word. You say, well, I do love God. I love God more than money. Really? Did you work this week? Did you do whatever you do if you're retired? How much time did you spend at work? How much time did you spend doing what you like to do? Did you spend that much time in the Word of God? How much do we love the Lord? Do we spend as much time doing what we enjoy as much as we get into the Word of God? So we're talking about learning the truth and the knowledge of God's Word. And what I'm saying, if you genuinely want the truth, you can have it. But it's going to take a little work. It's going to take a desire on your part. So many people out there have have tried to convince you that the Bible is hard to learn. You need to have a PhD. You need to go to college to learn it. That's all bunk. Because all you need is a right desire and give your time to the Lord, and He'll give you what you need from the Word of God. We've got, years ago, especially, you've had people up in the mountains that have studied the Word, that had known how to rightly divide the Word, and could teach the Word of God. And then you have some big-time city slicker type preacher come in and preach. But these guys knew more of the Word of God because they studied it and applied it to their lives than these college-educated teachers. And there's nothing wrong with the college education. I've got that. Wyndham's got it. Some of you have it. But if it's kept in its proper place, not a problem. But when that comes before the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, then there's a problem. I want to get to the rules, because we always run out of time. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, we'll get into the first rule. And verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the word of knowledge. So stop listening to what pulls you away from the truth of the Word of God. Now, here's what we need to do. Before you ever pick up the Bible to read it, before you read the first verse in the Bible, before you read the first chapter, before you write down your first note, you have to make up your mind. Whatever I've heard, all the sermons, all the teachings you've heard over the years, whatever I think, whatever I've been taught, if it differs from what I read in the Bible, then that's the end of my loyalty to that teaching or preaching, whoever it is. And you listen to these guys that are on the air today, and some of them are way off on their doctrines. You've got to know what the Word of God teaches so you don't fall into some of their wrong teachings. So, we get rid of that teaching that we've had and with it, that we've maybe stood by for years. If it crosses the Word of God, it's wrong and you forsake it. So, if you've already made up your mind as to what you're going to believe and how you're going to live and what you're going to do, then forget about reading the Bible, because you're not going to change. Your attitude's wrong. Just go on living your life the way you want to live it, and at the judgment seat of Christ. See, you always look forward to the end result, whatever it is. What are you training for? I'm training to get as many rewards as I possibly can. I always go back to being an athlete. If you want to be the winner, you're going to train in order to be a winner in that sport, that whatever it is. And it's the same thing with the Bible. If you want the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to have to train and apply the Word of God to your life. And it's not always easy. It's not always fun. But it's rewarding in this life and in the next. So, if you go in there and God shows you something, that you may not agree with, you're going to have the attitude that you're going to change and come in line with the Word of God. So the first rule is this. If I'm not living according to the Bible, I must change to come in line with what the Bible teaches. What is that? We can hit on drinking, okay? Getting drunk. Well, it's not hurting anybody but me if I do anything. Don't push it. What's the Bible teach about drinking alcohol? What's it say when it starts turning? You better avoid it. That means when it goes from grape juice to wine, alcohol, you better avoid it. Yeah, but in Timothy it says, have a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Now here here you find a so-called contradiction. What do? You run that, find out what it's talking about. Why is he talking to Timothy about that? Have a little wine. Now, wine is used in two ways. An alcoholic way and grape juice. Now, which is he talking about? You've got to determine that in the Word of God. And is it because Timothy had stomach problems that Paul told him to have a little wine for thy stomach's sake? Or what? This is what the work is all about. What's true? What's not true? What applies to us? What applies to the Jews or whoever else is being spoken to? So, you line up with what the Word of God teaches and live your life accordingly. The Bible says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, no, not one. You're going to come across in the Bible things that you may not agree with as yet until you get the whole teaching, but you're going to have to read it, study it, and then make a decision. Am I going to apply this to my life, or, well, I'm saved, I can do what I want, and reap the results? You know that, and I've mentioned it over and over, Galatians 6:7. So that's a starting place right there. Got to make up my mind that I want to do what the Bible teaches. And if it crosses me, then I'm going to bring my life in line with what the Word of God teaches. Second rule, the Bible is correct as it stands. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Thou add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So you don't add, you don't take away from the Word of God. It's the way it is, the way it's written. That's what we're to believe. Now, there's a controversy going on online. Even amongst so-called Bible believers. And one guy wrote in and said, well, the NIV, the ESV, the other ones, New American Standard, they're all right when you go back to when they first come out. No, they're not all right. Don't ever believe that. You compare Scripture with Scripture. Compare the Word of God with those books, and you find out they destroy the deity of Christ. They destroy the virgin birth. So you shun those books. This is a problem with scholars. Because he said in the beginning, all the scholars agree that those books are right. No, they're not right. Either God's right or the scholars are right. Choose your God. Who do you want to follow? So the Bible is correct as it stands. It says, every word of God is pure. Pure The definition is no admixture of error or corrupting influence. It's not part pure and part dirty, or it wouldn't be pure. It's not part true and part false. It's not part right or part wrong. Every word of God is 100% right. You're going to have to determine in your own life which book you want to follow. Is it the Word of God as He inspired and preserved it for us today in the English language? Or is it another book, which is a perversion? We have to make up our own mind. So, we do away with setting up like they do the religions today. The Bible plus so-and-so's revelation. And I see these guys, and I get this information because this is happening, the rapture is going to take place soon. Don't worry about what's happening here in the States. That's got nothing to do with bringing in the rapture. Watch Israel. That's God's people. That'll determine how close we're getting to the calling out, or what we call the rapture. The Bible plus tradition. Forget tradition. We've all been taught tradition sometime in our life when it comes into religion. So forget tradition. It's what the Bible says. Have it the Bible plus my opinion. My opinion is worth nothing unless it's based on what the Word of God says and teaches. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away. Don't put your interpretation on it. It's only what God says and what He teaches. Psalms 33 verse 4 says, For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. How can we change that? What God says is right. Everything He says is true. You can't find a mistake or a lie in God. You just have to learn how to rightly divide the word, how to put it in its proper context, and then apply it to your life. The word of God is the word of the Lord is right. You know what you've got to do. You've got to make up your mind before you even open the scriptures, before you read the first chapter, as I said, before you study the first verse. What I'm reading in this book is right. It's right, no question about it, whether I like it or not, no argument, no debate. So if you want the truth, it's in this book. And you're going to have to not question the Word of God, but just believe it. And then again, remember, it's not the sheep that butt. It's the goats that butt. If you're a sheep, you're not going to say, well, it says this in the Word of God, but forget the buts. Read it. Get it in its context. And then find out what we're to do with it. And then, first rule, we cast away our own opinion. Second rule, the Bible is correct as it stands. Third rule, the Word of God must be rightly divided. Rightly divided. 2 Timothy 2:15, that's where it tells us, commands us to study so that we need not be ashamed. But in order to get the proper study, we need to rightly divide the Word of truth. So there are certain divisions in the Word of God. There are not walls up there to block us. There are not boundaries or barricades in the Word of God, but there are divisions. An example of that is in football. I don't know about baseball, but in football you have different, you have the football league like the NFL, but you have different divisions. They are all in that league, but they are different divisions. And it's the same with the Word of God. There's divisions in there. And you have to find out what those divisions are. And then learn from that. Now, well, we'll cover that in a minute. And what that means is that God deals with men in different ways, in different time periods, where God has different points of emphasis at one time than he does at another time. Example, I read in the Old Testament in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy about the law. Now, the law is good. Jesus says, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And there won't be one jot or tittle of the law that fails. It's all true. The people ask, when you talk about that, then if that's true, why don't you keep the Sabbath? The Sabbath is part of the law. And you said you believe the whole book. This is where rightly dividing comes in. Because I rightly divide the Word of God, I went back and read that law and found it was not given to the Gentiles. Who was it given to? It was given to God's people, the Jews, at that time. Now, it's true and it's righteous altogether, but there's divisions there. Jesus said on Passover night, he said, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So, what's going on here? In your Bible, we read about a kingdom that Jesus will set up on the earth. What is that kingdom? Is it the church? Is it the millennial reign? What is it? You have to learn to rightly divide and find out which is true. Are both true? Does one apply to someone and one apply to the church? What's going on here? And then you say, how do I learn where those divisions are? You read it, and you read it, and you read it, and you read it. You can't get away from it. Now, I was blessed when I got saved because I got into a good church. It was a Bible-believing church. They taught the right divisions. We had the top men and the top preachers in the country coming in. We had Pete Ruckman. We had Jack Hiles. We had the guy in Texas that sang. Had the girls home, Lester Roloff. We had all the top preachers come in and preach and teach to us. So I was grounded early. And the books that I read when I first got saved, they helped me get grounded. So I was very fortunate. And it's a good thing because I was working at GM at the time, and I had every sort of religion coming at me. These guys, I should be a healer, I should raise the dead, I should do, and what are you talking about? And so it got me into the Word to study it so that I knew how to answer them. So it was good. And I'm not saying sit down tonight and you'll know it all tomorrow. It's going to take study. It's going to take time. You can't just say salvation and salvation for the church is the same throughout the whole Bible. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, it's a death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his shed blood that washes our sins away. Now, in the Old Testament, they had to be obedient to what knowledge they were given. And then you can't get away from the blood because the blood is what washes the sins away. And what, if they believed what God taught them back then, they were right. And then come judgment, that blood washes all their sins away, and they get to go into either the millennial reign with the Lord or whatever dispensation they've been in. So, when you study the Bible, you have to ask this question. Who is being spoken to? Who is being spoken to? Is it the church? Is it the Gentiles? Is it Israel? Who is it? If God is speaking to the nation of Israel, that bell. He is not speaking to the church. If God is speaking to the lost man on his way to hell, he's not speaking to the saved man on his way to heaven. If God is speaking to a king, a monarch on the throne, he's not speaking to the ditch digger on the job. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. Find out not just what God says, but who he's speaking it to. Now, here's an illustration. I write a note, and I give it to Floyd. It's addressed to Floyd. I says, meet me tonight at 6 o'clock at, what's a good restaurant? Cracker Barrel?
McDonald's.
Who? All right, we'll say Cracker Barrel. Meet me tonight at Cracker Barrel at 6 o'clock. And Floyd leaves that note on his desk. Someone else picks it up. I'm at Cracker Barrel. And Ben picked that note up and he meets me there. I says, what are you doing here, Ben? He says, I got this note. Meet you here at 6 o'clock. You're going to buy me a meal. Oh, really? Who is that note addressed to? It's addressed to Floyd, not you. Get out of here. So you've got to be careful. Who's talking? Who are they talking to? And what are they talking about? So I hate them there because we got four more rules coming up, but be careful of what they... Now, the fourth rule is, and I'll finish up with this, I won't go through it, but comparing scriptural things with scriptural. And you find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, prophecy, we're not talking about things happening in the future. In the context here, it's talking about the word of God. And I don't have the verse here, but I'll find it for you and show you that. So basically, it means you cannot pull scripture out of the Bible and give that a meaning or an interpretation that does not fit the overall teaching of the rest of the Bible. You have to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And we'll finish up next week with this, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. All right. Father, just pray now that things that have been spoken are clear. If there's any questions, Lord, I pray they seek out the answers, either from me or from someone that is well-versed in Scripture, or you would open their eyes to the truth, Lord, and what you would have them to know. And Father, as we finish up now, we pray for the main service. Pray that you speak through the preacher. Give each one of us what we need to draw closer to you. Thank you for all the blessings in our lives and the prayer requests. We bring them all to you, Lord, that's on the hearts of each and every one here. And we thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen.